Yesterday we had our Christmas at my mom's, and my mom is we had that's very unusual for her not to have Christmas Eve, but she did really well. I was real proud of her. But I just took a little time before we opened gifts, and I said, look, this is the most amazing gift we can have. It's not the stuff that we're going to give to one another, but it's the gift of us having one another. And the truth is that all the stuff, you know, last night at 10:30 at night, knock, knock, knock on the door, and it was Heidi. My Nerf, whatever it is, machine don't work, you know. So those things come and go. They break. They last for a few days. Then they're bored with them. They play with the boxes more than they do with the toys. And so at the end of the day, what really matters is family. And so whatever you do this Christmas, don't let division, hurt feelings, broken promises keep you from loving your family. The best gift you can give is you. That's the best gift you can give. Well, they don't like me. What they don't like has nothing to do with how you live. Let's be the best gift we can be to our families this year. And let's make sure that our families know the love of Jesus coming through us. Can I get a shout amen for that? Come on, that better shout amen. I need a better amen. Awesome. Awesome. So that's my little Christmas encouragement word this morning. I'm just going to pick up where I left off last week. So this is not a new message. This is a continuation of last week. And I probably won't cry through the whole day like I did last week. But I just so love the presence of God. And yesterday, again, in our family time, when it, just the presence of God, having that moment where we sense and feel that God is Emmanuel, God with us, and that he is in everywhere we're in and whatever we're doing, he is on location. Somebody say he is on location. He's right there present in our lives. Our lives have lots of things going on. I find that most people I talk to, they have more to do than they have time to do it in, right? And our lives are so busy, but when even in our busyness, God is always so present in our life. And we just need to make sure that we take the time and we carve out those moments to take time with the Lord. It's the most important thing that we can do. And I said this last week, I want to just tee it up again. This world is going to melt under fervent heat, but what remains is him. Is anybody here this morning? What remains is him. And so because Christ came, we can experience the kingdom of God like never before. He gave his life to give us life. And we say this so many times, more abundantly. Everybody shout more abundantly. How many has been in church more than a week? How many has been in church 10 years? How many has been in church 30 years? Y'all keep raising your hand, you're going to tell how old you are. How many has just been in church a long time? Let's just go with that. And you've heard this word more abundantly, even when you was a kid and kids' church or children's church or Sunday school, this more abundant life. And so we don't really know how to capture that more abundant life. And today I really want to help us to capture that abundant life when we talk about the kingdom of God. And through our daily work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and Jason already kind of stole my thunder on this while ago, through the daily work of the Holy Spirit, God is handing out gifts to us. Can I get a better amen? Amen. All right, I'm going to preach a long time. It depends on how long you're here. So if you come on, come with me. All right. So John 18 says this. He's talking about my kingdom is not of this world. He says, so Pilate entered to his headquarters again, calling Jesus, and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered, do you say this of your own accord, or did others say this about me? Pilate answered, I am a Jew, your own nation or your people. And if you read out of other passages, some of them say your own religion. Your own nation and chief priest have delivered you over to me. What have you done? And Jesus answered, I love this. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not of this world. Come on, I could stop right there. We're serving in a kingdom that's not bound by this world. And Pilate said to him, "So you are a king." And Jesus answered, "You say that I'm a king. For this purpose I am born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness the truth, that everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." He said, "My kingdom is not of this present world." Now, honestly, I don't think the people, Pilate, or the people around was getting this. I don't think they were understanding when he said, "My kingdom's not of this world." They were like, what are you talking about? Your kingdom's not of this world. They were missing the whole point. And I think sometimes even today that in our own life, we're still missing the idea that this kingdom is not of this world. Because this world puts so much pressure on our lives and so much going on that our focus sometimes can be taken off the kingdom that's not of this world. Daniel prophesied had a dream and prophesied this in Daniel 7. He said, "And to him was given dominion and glory and the kingdom, that all people, nations, and all languages should serve him. His dominion is of everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom is the one that shall not be destroyed." I want somebody to shout everlasting. Everlasting kingdom. This kingdom is not one that's going to pass away, and it will not be destroyed. When Christ entered into the world, he ushered in the kingdom of God, and that was prophesied in Daniel 7. And the kingdom that could not be destroyed by any situation or anything going on in the world, even then or now, no matter how difficult the process was, the kingdom of God was planted in the hearts of something that was so profound, and I think in the whole understanding of this, we missed it. But we can miss it because we don't understand it, because we think in the ways of this world, earthly thoughts, and we think of like in our nation, we think of presidents or people who rise to power and they're there for a season and then they go away, and then we're looking for the next president, we're looking for the next thing. And I know that people have said, "Okay, well, we had this president, and this was our opportunity, and this was our hope, and this was our, oh, this is going to happen, and then we're waiting again because we're waiting for the next person to rise up, and this is going to be our hope, and then he's 4 or 8 years, and then we go for another 4 or 8 years, and then on and on and on, and we're looking for hope in this world that's never coming." Because when you tap into the kingdom of God, there's going to be a place that's inside of you that's longing for something that this world cannot give. Anybody with me this morning? There's a desire that comes inside of you that says, "I want something that this world is not able to give." And so, as I mentioned last week, we become the dwelling place for the presence of God. In Luke 17, they began being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God was coming. He answered them, "The kingdom of God is not coming in ways we can observe, nor will they say, 'Look here, it is,' or 'There.' For behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you." Where is the kingdom of God? See, the Jews were looking for an earthly kingdom that would come to raise them to the next level and bring them out of the place that they are at and make them great. They were looking for a king that would elevate them, that would make their nation a nation above every other nation. The Messiah that they had in mind was not the Messiah that would save the world, that would humble himself and come as a baby born in a manger, but he would ride in on chariots and horses and a great big entourage. They were looking for a Messiah that would come in that had a different idea than what their idea of kingdom was, and so they missed it. They missed it. And they were looking for someone that they could put into, that they could understand. And then here came Jesus. He's born of a virgin. Oh, that wasn't the plan. He was born in a manger. Didn't have that in mind. That wasn't the idea. He was just a normal little baby. What's up with that? And then he went about doing miracles. He went about doing all these things that they didn't expect a king to do. He had disciples, but they wasn't carrying gold. They wasn't riding in gold chariots and all of those things. They were humble. They were simple. And they were there to touch people's lives. This king that they were looking for was not the king that came to this earth that would change the world, but he came to make an eternal investment into man. Matthew 6:33. We've heard this passage of scripture many times before too, and I think sometimes when we read it, we misunderstand it. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. There's something missing in this passage because that we have not fully understood what the kingdom of God is really like. So when we hear this message, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added to you, our mind goes back to, because we see through this earthly eyes, our mind goes, if you go to church and you're good and you pray and you buy somebody a car, then all these awesome things are going to happen in your life and God's going to give you all of this stuff. We miss the whole kingdom concept by trying to put it back into earthly perspective instead of eternal perspective, where we are sowing into something that the scripture says that the kingdom of God that will never end is never going to go away. This is eternal. This is not just for the moment that we're living in right now, but this is eternal. Can I preach to somebody today about how you live day to day with all the woes of life, and you come to church week after week, and we was talking about this a few weeks ago in our staff meeting, is that we come to church and we preach the message often over and over about hope and healing and you're going to make it through life. And I preached it last week that because of the if you have the presence of God in your life, it's going to heal your marriage, it's going to fix your kids, it's going to do all these things, which is true. But one thing, we keep going back to the thing that God takes us out of because we have an earthly perspective, and we never step into that kingdom promise that this moment that we're living in is just for a short season. Come on, somebody. Amen. That we're living just in a moment that's a short season. As a matter of fact, I was just looking yesterday around my house at my family, and I posted a picture you may have saw on Facebook of all the grandkids, and now there's another generation coming up of the great-grands, and people are married, and all of these things happen. And I thought, how quick life passes us by. My dad looked to me yesterday as the, come on, kind of lead everything. I'm exhausted. I'm worn out. And I could feel in my spirit he was passing the torch. And I thought, oh, man, how quick life passes us by. And if this is all we have, this stinks. Yeah. Come on, can I get real today? I started to say something else, but if this is all we've got, really? Come on. Because you know what? You're going to look up and it's going to be Christmas 2017 before you blink an eye. Another year is going to pass. Another season of life is going to pass. Another child is going to be born. Another generation is going to come up, and others are going to die. And life is going to go on if you're only focused on this present world. But when you step into eternity, I wish somebody would go where I'm going today. When you step into eternity, it changes everything. It doesn't change just what eternity is going to be. It changes how I live today. Because what I'm doing when I'm stepping into eternity, I am bringing the kingdom of earth, of heaven, into earth. And I am passing that kingdom to a next generation. Jesus said, look, I'm going to be born for one reason. I'm coming to the earth that you may have life and to have it more abundantly. I'm coming to bring the kingdom of God into the earth. I'm coming so that you understand the eternal. I'm bringing life into your life so that you don't just live out today for today. That's good anyway. So here's what he did. He turned to his disciples in Mark 1. He said, let me back up. I'm getting ahead of myself. This is what Jesus said in Mark 1. He said, I come to proclaim the gospel, saying this is the time is fulfilled, that the kingdom of God is at hand. And then he said, repent and believe in the gospel. What is the gospel? He is the gospel. Repent and believe in the gospel. When we believe and repent of our sins, the kingdom of God enters into our lives. We begin to live under the rule of his kingdom, but also with the authority of his kingdom. Because Romans 8 tells us that if we live by the Spirit of God, we become the sons of God. Come on. Not only do I just get to talk about his kingdom, I get to live in his kingdom. I'm just going to let that sink in a minute. You know, it would be like if come here, Jason, be king. I'm going to make you king. Sit up on your throne here, high and lofty one. Come on, you be his queen. Come be his queen. Come on, Queen Sarah. I don't have a chair for you, so stand there and just fan him or something. I don't know. If my perception of the kingdom is that the king lives over there, and there's this big entourage and kingdom wall and castle, and then there's me. Now, I know the king. I've seen the king walk down the street. I've watched the queen as they carried her through the streets and people said, "Hail the king, hail the queen." But I'm still just an outsider. I'm just sitting out on the outer courts, having a knowledge of them, but never having a moment with them. Oh, you got to get this. It's when the king, when you understand that when you repent of your sins and you say, "Lord, I open my heart to who you are," you unlock the door to the kingdom of heaven. And so no longer am I on the outside, but now I'm sitting in heavenly places. I don't just know about him, but I'm hanging out with him. I can look over and say, "Hey, King, I need a little miracle." And he goes, "Sure, here it is." "Hey, Queen, I need a little, give me a little of that worship you got. Come on, give me some of that." "Here it is." Are you getting this? It's one thing to have knowledge. It's another thing to be present with. It's one thing to say, honk, put the bumper sticker in your car, honk if you know Jesus. It's another thing to sit in heavenly places and really know him. And I don't know that I'm not trying to make Jesus less than. I'm trying to make us more of. But to look over and say, "Hey, Jesus." And he goes, "Hey, Marv." "What's up, Jesus?" He said, "How's your day, Marv?" So we have this kingdom concept where, and I do believe that we should bow before the king, and I do think we should humble ourselves in his presence. But I don't think that we're peasants living in a place where we're just coming and bowing and going out and wishing. But I believe that we have become now the sons and daughters of the king. Woo! I got a chill all over me right now. And now I'm no longer just going to the king's house, but I'm going to daddy's house. I've entered into the kingdom of God, and God, he has opened up his kingdom to me, and he said, "Hey, there's the fridge. Get what you need." Man, if you ever get this, your relationship with God is going to change. Because oftentimes we come into the king and we're bowing before the king and we're saying, "Oh, please, king, please, my life is a mess up." We don't understand who he is. We're begging for something he's already given. We're pleading for things he's already promised. Woo! And he's just waiting on us. He stands with like if he could say, like, "Hey, I just got all of these gifts for you. I got all of these things for you. All you got to do is just step into the promise." Y'all some good kings and queens. You can go. So we open the door to the Spirit. Now this whole king kid, this whole understanding makes sense to Matthew 6, that seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. I'm not seeking the stuff. I'm not simply wanting the things. I'm seeking the king. When I seek first the kingdom of God, I'm simply stepping into what has already been established for me. I'm stepping into the supernatural realm of the Spirit. If we seek the stuff, we live from a place of worry and striving. If all we're doing is seeking the stuff. I need this, I need that, I don't have this, my life's not this, I wish I had that. If I had this, I'd have a better life. If I didn't have this, I would. And we live our whole lives from this place of worry and striving. Am I helping anybody today? But when we start seeking the king, we live from a kingdom perspective. You say, Pastor, does that mean you're not going to have your problems? No, you're going to have problems, but you're going to have a king who's already took care of your problems. Yeah. And here's the deal about the kingdom of God. It's not just enough. It's more than enough. When you live from striving, it's always just enough. But when you live from a kingdom of perspective, it's more than enough. It's more than enough. And what little that you receive from the kingdom, there's more. The more you get, the more he gives. The more you want, the more he serves. The more you desire, the more he puts on the table. Why? Because he's crazy about you. He's crazy about you. He loves you. He's amazed by you as you are him. He created you for this purpose. Oh, that makes me so excited. It's like when Jesus took the loaves and the fishes and he multiplied them. There wasn't just enough. He didn't go, okay, there's 5,000 people. I need 5,000 pieces of bread, 5,000 pieces of fish. He just broke bread because, you know, he's the kind of king that says, look, if enough is good, more than enough is better. Anybody want seconds? Come on. How many has cooked for a big group of people before? Come on. How many has ever cooked and you didn't have enough? It was like, oh, my God, I'm so embarrassed. You know, you were in there pouring water in the soup, make it bigger. Put some more water in the chili. Pour some more water in the spaghetti sauce. Let's make this blow up a little bit. Jesus didn't have that problem. When he started breaking bread, he didn't count and say, well, we just got 5,000 here. I'm going to get just enough. He said, I'm going to break the bread, and there's going to be enough. I'm telling you today, and this is a word from the Lord for somebody here today. You've been living from a place of poverty. You've been living from a place where God has just been just barely enough for you, and he's telling you today, I'm your king, and I got more than enough. Step into my provision. Step into my purpose, because I'm a king with more than enough. But here's the deal. The way you open that door is to know who he is. Let's go back to Mark 1. He said, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. Then we step into Acts 2, and Jesus has descended into heaven, but he's left us a promise, and we're on the day of Pentecost, and Peter stands up, and he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift, everybody say gift, yes, of the Holy Spirit. So through that repentance that you unlock the door to his kingdom, followed by that is the gift of the Holy Spirit. There's where the kingdom of God begins to invade this temple. The gift of the Holy Spirit releases other gifts in our lives. And I said this to you last week, and we're going to pick up there again today. We become kingdom ambassadors to the earth. Like Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 10. He said, and he proclaimed, as you go, say the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. Raise the dead, cleanse the leopards, and cast out demons. Now, you know I got to say this right here today. If we spent more time expanding the kingdom, we'd spend less time wanting something. If we spent more time saying, wait, hold on. This whole kingdom thing is not about what I get. This whole kingdom thing is about what I give. And the gift of the Holy Spirit working in me has released in me other gifts. And so now I have the gift of healing. I have the gift of prophecy. I have, and listen, this is amazing because we spiritualize things. So we have the one over here that's the prayer warrior and the prophetic, and then we have this gift of administration. And we think, well, those are the supernatural spiritual people over there, and these administrative people, God help them, they just, you know, they're just good. Let me tell you something. It's a part of the gifts of administration, because if the administrative gifts are not working with the prophetic gifts, we have chaos. And so sometimes we lessen our gifts because we look at others and say, well, they have this gift and they have that gift, but I don't have that gift. I'm telling you that God has poured out gifts to everybody. And then I'm going to take this a step further. If you seek the prophetic, go after the prophetic. If you seek healing, go after healing. If you seek the word of knowledge, go after the word of knowledge. Because inside the gifts of the Spirit are the nine gifts of the Spirit, which are for everybody who desires the things of the Spirit. But before you can get those things, you have to understand what the kingdom is. If you think the kingdom is just getting saved and barely making it to heaven and sliding under the pearly gates and hope, whew, gosh, I made it. I lived in hell, but I made it. Oh, God, thank you, Lord. Well, your life is just going to be miserable. You might be saved, but it's going to be miserable. But when you step into the kingdom of God, all of a sudden you understand that this gift that he put in me, is anybody here this morning? This gift that he put in me is for the purpose of giving. Amen. And it's for the purpose of going about and spreading his kingdom into all the earth. Whatever I've done unto you, whatever I've done for you, do for others. He said his kingdom is going to multiply through us. So as we talk this week about the kingdom of God, his kingdom come, it's important that we understand that his kingdom come is multiplied or expanded through his children. Yes. We're not talking about the kingdom that's over there. We're talking about the kingdom that's in here. Yes. And in us is gifts of the Holy Spirit, works of the Holy Spirit that continues. It's the gift, really, that keeps on giving. It just keeps on giving out. It keeps on giving out. Worship team, you can come. It's gifts that keep on touching lives. It's gifts that keep on changing lives. And here's what I wanted to say to you today. I want to wrap this up with this today. Don't just be a gift taker. Be a gift giver. Amen. Don't. If you want more of the kingdom, don't just take what's coming to you and waiting for more. But be an outflow. Of the kingdom of God. Here's what I know. The older I get, the more I minister, the more I understand about his kingdom, the more I go after him, the more I get of him. I don't know if I should use this analogy or not, but I've had ladies tell me, well, I'm just praying for a husband. I say, that's awesome. I believe in that. Just sitting on my front porch praying for a husband. Well, I got news for you. He probably ain't going to show up on your front porch. You need to get out a little bit. Well, I'm just praying for God to do a miracle in my life and give me a job. Did you fill out an application? Yeah, right. No, I'm just praying for a miracle. Well, you probably not going to get that miracle. I mean, sometimes it happens, but most time it don't happen. Because the Word of God said, he that puts his hand to a plow and turns back is not fit for the kingdom of God. What is it? It's when you grab a hold of the plow of the Spirit and you say, hey, wait a minute, such is the kingdom of God. I'm just going to be everything he made me to be. I'm going to give out everything he gave me. I'm making room in my life for more of him. I remember the series we did years ago on hoarding, and we just become spiritual hoarders. Well, thank you, God, for what you gave me. I'm just going to keep that. You know, the thing about hoarders is never get enough. They always want more. But listen to what I'm about to tell you. But what they have is decaying. You ever watch the show on TV, Hoarders? All that they've collected is rotting. Oh, it once was useful. It once had merit. It once had value. But it was just covered up with more. And so what was once value now has just become decayed. When God puts his kingdom in you, he's saying, I'm not just giving it to you for you. I'm giving it to you because I'm expanding the kingdom of God. His kingdom is living through us. His kingdom come. His kingdom come. And so I'm releasing spiritual gifts in your life. I don't know why I'm going to say this because it's what part of my message, but sometimes in our getting spiritual gifts, we get stuck in our spiritual gift. And we just got to stay right there. I don't think he wants you to have a spiritual gift. I think he wants you to have spiritual gifts. How do I get spiritual gifts? Give what you've been given. Start seeking after. Start going after his kingdom. Well, Pastor, I've never seen anybody raised from the dead. Have you ever prayed for anybody that was dead? Pastor, I've never seen any blinded eyes open. Have you ever prayed for anybody that had blind eyes? Pastor, I've never seen the lame walk. Did you ever pray for that guy at Walmart that was in that wheelchair? What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying we're the kingdom of God. Let's go after it. Well, what if I pray for them and they're not healed? It ain't on you. It's not on you. Matter of fact, I would dare to say that I don't know that I've prayed for as many people. I don't know. I don't even want to do that. But I pray for a lot of people that haven't been healed. But I've seen some pretty amazing things happen too. What are you saying? I'm saying let's go for it. Let's go for this kingdom thing. Let's make 2017 a year that we go after God like we've never been after him before. I'm not talking about collectively as a church only, but I'm talking about you as an individual. That you say, this is the year that I'm going to lay all this striving and struggling and pressures down, all this trying to make something happen, and I'm just going to step into the provision of God in my life. You see, because Rachel, he's already established in heaven. It's already established. Somebody say it's already done. We're not really praying for him to do it. We're stepping into what's already done. It's already done. We're just stepping into that promise. We're stepping into that already done thing. We're already healed. We're already set free. Our children are already saved. His kingdom has already come. We're stepping into the provision of his kingdom. Are y'all with me this morning? Am I making any sense to anybody today? Because we preach about Jesus coming to earth, and I think sometimes we get so caught up in baby Jesus, we forget that it's more than just a baby. It's the kingdom of God. It's the kingdom of God. He stepped into this earth just so that the kingdom could be expanded. For us to live in the realm of the supernatural. Stand with me this morning.